During this challenging cold and flu season, supporting your immune health is top priority. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with an effective 1-2 punch from our friends at Protocol for Life Balance. Protocol's abiotic soft gels and Sambucus Black Elderberry Liquid both have vital natural compounds that help your immune system fight what the season throws at you. Go to drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order these great products. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And since it's, well, sort of the beginning of the year, as we transition into the time when people start to give up on their New Year's resolutions, we're going to talk about transformation. It's sort of a cold and contemplative time. And today we're going to talk to someone who's been dubbed the Queen of Transformation. She's Kat James. Yeah, and a title well-earned, Kat. Kat's been a frequent contributor here on Intelligent Medicine. She's the best-selling author of The Truth About Beauty. And the theme of her, all her output, her practice, and also her many of her writings, and she's frequently in the media, writes tons of articles, and she gets the word out, is about transformation. And she herself has undergone an enormous personal transformation. She's a motivational speaker as well. Without further ado, here's Kat. Kat, welcome.
Great to be back, Dr. Hoffman.
Okay. Well, okay. So again, for those unfamiliar with your personal journey, how'd you get started on this path?
Well, in a pretty superficial way, oddly, I came to New York City back in 1988. And to be a makeup artist, and I was very gifted at helping people superficially transform while at the same time self-destructing with my own horrible lifestyle self-abuse that really started to make my health unravel around especially 1990 when my liver started to fail. I had had a 12-year eating disorder had horrible rashes. I was no longer digesting, and had thyroid problems I didn't really understand at the time, and wound up refusing a horrible drug that they wanted me to take to save my liver. And
some sort of immunosuppressive medication.
Yes.
It sounds like you had, specifically, it sounds like you had autoimmune hepatitis or something.
Yes.
Along those lines?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They couldn't find anything viral. And they said they were going to put me on that drug no matter what the biopsy found. And I thought, why do I do the biopsy? And so I wound up just going into a health food store and looking up liver and finding some amazing ingredients, including milk thistle, which we'll be talking about later when we talk about detox this time of year. But then I also stumbled upon, accidentally, a way of feeling that I wanted to replicate and make it last 24/7, because I'd have these short few hours of not feeling enslaved to the eating disorder and not feeling depressed and feeling totally free in my body. And I said, whatever that is, I wanted, and had nothing to do, honestly, with me, my emotional work, which I was doing a ton of. Eventually, I made this feeling last 24/7, and that is why I left an amazing career, because after I lost the 10 dress sizes, all of the cosmetic companies wanted me on the air talking about what color goes where, and I wanted only to talk about this incredible thing that happened to me. So that is what I've dedicated my life to for the last 25 years.
You know, and I might say from a medical standpoint, we do see patients who have autoimmune hepatitis. And as you say, the treatment is immunosuppressive medication. But I have to say that while it's not the most common condition, it's also not the most rare condition. We've seen a few patients with that condition. And if they really follow a healthy regimen like you followed, detoxification is so important as a component of healing that many have averted going on these powerful medications. They're healed. There's no trace of their previous disease. And the nice thing about autoimmune hepatitis is that unlike a virus like the hepatitis virus, when it goes away, it goes away. And it doesn't need to kill off a bug that's causing it. It's an inflammatory disorder, and you can actually halt that inflammatory cascade and be well again. But it sounds like, let's put it this way. If you wanted to get autoimmune hepatitis, if you wanted to screw up your liver, I mean, it sounds like your lifestyle prior to that was sort of a prescription for how to do it. So how, give us a how-to manual on how to destroy your liver.
Absolutely.
From life experience.
You destroy your liver by starting to throw off your biochemistry. You could throw that off with just unbelievable food, like the plastic that I grew up with in the Midwest in Michigan. Not to, you know, it's gotten much better over there since. And, you know, at that time, I couldn't find anything but iceberg lettuce, you know, at the grocery store.
And Wonder Bread.
But I was into all the packaged food and all of the carbs, et cetera. And if you take antibiotics, you're going to be much more vulnerable to that road of addiction, and you throw off your microbiome, then who knew that my little microbes were actually calling the shots? Who knew? I mean, 20, 25 years later, we would find out that Candida is even communicating with the brain. That's a recent one. That's in the last year.
And that just came out. There's actually a pro-inflammatory effect of Candida. Candida can cross the blood-brain barrier. It can actually start the ball rolling towards Alzheimer's. And this just came out. And you met, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, how much we were ridiculed for talking about how Candida affects the brain. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You know, we could be, you know, tarred and feathered for even suggesting such a thing.
Yeah, and I didn't have good probiotics back then. I didn't have a Dr. O'Hara, something, you know, with a prebiotic and postbiotic for my whole microbiome. So a lot of things were slower than they needed to be. But I had digestive issues, and ironically, that was what made me go to the doctor. I just wasn't digesting at all. And but the rashes that I had, and also my autoimmune thyroid problem, and you know, other things were going on, like burnout dopamine pathways. But back to this list of the wrong things to do, just using antibiotics like candy, the sugar, the chlorine, the prescription drugs, the chlorinated water, even chlorinated shower and baths and swimming pools and all of that, and I'm sure you have some to add to that, but they make you into this completely imbalanced, because if the microbiome is off, it changes your personality, changes your relationship with food and potential other addictive substances. So unless you go back to that core and undo that problem, you can't, you know, on New Year's Day or in January of 2019, hope to have long-term success if your New Year's resolutions involve any kind of willpower, because it removes the need for a lot of willpower when you do things correctly, and that means you're going to be able to do them long-term.
Indeed. And, you know, brain chemistry certainly affected by the microbiome. And, you know, we can see how vicious cycle can ensue. You know, the bad eating worsens the condition of the microbiome. The very imbalance in the microbiome may create the impetus to crave junk food, basically. And from the standpoint, I mean, they use a term teleology to describe ascribing emotions or motivation to simple organisms like bacteria or something. They're not thinking about this. But hey, it's they're competing for survival, and they may actually send signals to the brains of people whose bodies they've hijacked to deliver precisely the kind of food that they require to proliferate. So it's a, a really strange situation.
It is amazing. I think it's beyond still, you know, what they've been able to identify under a microscope, but I would put huge money into, just the fact that the reason that you're at a buffet table and you've already made your New Year's resolutions and your hand goes toward the exact thing you shouldn't be eating, just as your brain says, I shouldn't have this. I think that involves those microbes.
It's your microbiome talking.
Yeah, I have no doubt.
Okay, so anyway, so you began to experience a higher level of wellness, and now you say you changed 10 dress sizes? Is that
Yeah, I shrank 10 dress sizes. Goodness gracious. 18 on top and a 20 on the bottom. I just say 10 because some people say, oh, well, each 2 equals 1. Well, either way, it's there, because I went down to even a 2 on the top and a 4 on the bottom. But it's a big stretch,
Okay, radio is not the proper medium for conveying this, but there are pictures of you, and it can be easily found at informedbeauty.com. That's your website. And, you know, you are not only in good condition, but you're a really good example for, you know, I don't want to out you on this, but last time we talked, it seems it was okay, is you are of a certain age, and you really are a great exemplar for women of a certain age because your skin's great.
54.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I guess what I'm reading here is dated because it said 52. So 54.
Yeah,
okay, great. Well,
I don't know. Maybe I didn't tell the truth that day, but no, I'm pretty much pretty straight on that. Yep.
Yeah. 54. So life, I mean, obviously at 54, how would you say your well-being compares and your functionality compares to when you were, say, 34?
Well, I mean, to me, as good or better. And compared to 19, you know, when everything fell apart, I mean, I even looked, my niece said I looked like I was, she goes, Aunt Kat, you look like you were 52. And I said, that's not what 52 is ever going to look like. And that, you know, that isn't what 52 has to look like. It's all our cellular health. And, just like you, I'm really a researcher. And of course, I am really big into the right supplements. Was very happy when, for example, there was a way that I could raise my glutathione without going in for injections, the RegActive, for example, and to be able to, I'm not a person who spends a lot of time at home, you know, making fermented foods and using a crock for fermented sauerkraut that I make at home. So having the most incredible concentrated fermented food that I can actually bring with me on a flight, which is Dr. O'Hara, is an amazing tool that I have, and that's basic, that's foundational.
Okay, so but let's get the elephant out of the room here. There's been some controversy about probiotics lately, and I've written about this pushback from the scientific community, people who claim that, you know, probiotics aren't really what they're chalked up to be, that one study showed that, you know, if you take probiotics orally, sometimes you can't even recover the probiotics in the stool. It's the whole idea is that you're planting seeds, you're supposed to colonize your gastrointestinal tract, and some, I think, journalists have sort of missed the message behind that. They've sort of shorthanded this into saying probiotics are a waste of money. They're a waste of time because you can't find them in your stool, so they must not work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like saying all meat contributes poorly to the environment and ignoring the fact that, you know, it's a net positive.
You've anticipated another question I wanted to get into you with.
But first let me go into to that, you know, probiotic, it's like saying music is harmful, you know, because there's some negative and music out there. Yeah, the probiotics that are just would be convenient for someone who's aiming to malign probiotics to talk about would be your typical single strain, billion trillion of this or that, which can cause harm in some cases, even an autoimmune reaction. But they're not talking about concentrated fermented food that has its own food source in it, because the other ones that I just referred to, in the little white capsule, the idea that they're going to survive the digestive tract once they're introduced, because they're not even finding their food there. And so, yes, it would be very surprising if they did, if they were found in the stool. But that's not going to be the case. Completely delivered to the body in their own, you know, source, in their own food source.
Okay, you refer to Dr. Hira's probiotics as a more of a whole food rather than as a probiotic supplement, correct?
Yeah, yeah. And the amazing thing is that rather than, you know, making sauerkraut at home and having it in a few days, this is something that has had 3 years of life cycle, including, you know, some of them die off. The hardiest ones survive. You've got the TH10 strain in the Dr. O'Hara's only, and that one beat out almost all the other lactic acid bacteria in its strength. But you have this multi-strain that's better for your blood sugar balance as well. But you have them producing these metabolites and organic acids and vitamins, even neurotransmitters. We know sauerkraut produces GABA, for example. So you've got neurotransmitters being produced after 3 years of the life cycle. It's a totally different experience and bringing on, you know, a new terrain in your gut. And that's a capability that those probiotics don't have, the others.
Okay, so the other charge is that in one study was shown that probiotics cause, quote, brain fog. Weird, kind of weird study because if I were to talk about brain fog in a paper and try to put it in a medical journal, I'd immediately be rejected because they'd say there's no such thing as brain fog.
Yes,
but
exactly.
As long as you bring along that, you know, supplements don't work, you can get away with that.
Right. Right, or low-carb diets or something.
Right.
And then, yeah, that's amazing because what would happen if Candida goes to, maybe they're talking about for 2 days when there's a big die-off. And that's, you know, that's very common in the design of these studies for whom, you know, the supplement is an inconvenience, perhaps, to drug profits.
Well, you know, in the one particular study in question, I noticed that they took people who had very serious SIBO, and then they added really high-strength probiotics with lactobacillus as a predominant organism, and it creates more bacterial overgrowth when you're using a really potent one species supplement. And by the way, they got rid of the brain fog by stopping the probiotics, but they also gave the patients antibiotics. So by using the antibiotics, you're going to get rid of the SIBO. Was it really stopping the probiotics that made the people better?
Did they do a follow-up study, 3 months later to see how the people were doing and if their microbiome had improved? And that's just amazing. And the tactics that are used lately on all sorts of fronts seem to be pretty desperate. I don't think that would withstand any analysis of the study design.
I wonder, had they studied Dr. Hira's probiotics, I wonder if would have gotten any kind of comparable results. I frankly doubt it.
No, I can't imagine. Yeah.
So you actually brought up something really interesting, which is new recommendations for a plant-based diet by The Lancet. And really what they've coupled is the idea that this is healthier because we don't want to eat so much meat. Meat's bad and saturated fats are bad. We all know that.
Yeah.
So they say. And in addition, we can save the planet because we're headed for planetary catastrophe. There are going to be 10 billion people on the planet by 2050. And the only way we can survive is by reducing our animal protein portions to minuscule amounts. I think one was we were allotted 7 grams per day. That would be like seven EPA capsules worth of red meat per day. That's not going to cut it.
What a boon that would be for prescription psych drugs and fertility drugs and bone loss drugs and all sorts of other prescription drugs to reduce meat consumption down to that level. But people have to understand that ruminant animals have made the earth thrive since the beginning of their existence, and that there's a bacteria in their dung that actually eats methane. They don't talk about they are conflating industrialized meat with grass-fed always. And it's a net positive. No one talks about that, and I'm very strong. Everybody listening who understands or has maybe even, like me, been a former vegetarian needs to get out there and refute this right now, because there is a net positive effect with grass-fed. And so who needs to be shamed are the producers of industrialized meat, which are harmful. But remember that the statistics that even the UN is relying on are for the greenhouse gas contribution of meats has been doubled in exaggeration, almost to 20%, and they were including the logging industry. So there have been more of these problematic study designs that are behind this myth.
Well, you seem to be really on top of this. In the next few weeks, I think we're going to interview a series of experts here on Intelligent Medicine who take issue with the so-called EAT study, the EAT study in Lancet, which calls for just dramatic curtailment of our animal protein intake. And, the other point to be made is big profits for the companies that make ersatz meat products. And that's really coming up, is the industrial processing plant-based foods. Meats,
lab meat, and they're using GMO, GMO yeast in some of the lab meat, and a mysterious source they don't divulge on making an iron-tasting, blood-tasting liquid to go in this nasty soy thing, and it doesn't look good.
Well, okay, so you obviously part of the key to your success is curbing your cravings and appetite and nourishing your body with adequate protein, while at the same time encouraging healthy fats and minimizing carbohydrates, right?
Yeah, definitely. And the detox thing right now, people think that detox is, oh, not eating meat, not eating fat, especially this time of year. I'm going to clear all that out as though that's toxic. And what I want to say is the efficiency of how we run is what detoxifies the body, and that in addition to getting the microbiome together, we want to make sure that the liver is clean. And there have been so many interventions in people's lives with prescription drugs, especially, and also just fatty liver, and that's a really sugar thing.
Right.
The
Times just headlined that, and I thought, wow, you know, you can really set your clock by the Times. Just add 20 years, and you'll be at the right time, because this is the kind of stuff we were talking about in the 80s, is too many carbs, and specifically refined carbohydrates, cause fatty liver. It's not fat that causes fatty liver. It's actually carbohydrates.
Right.
And then the Times has, thank goodness, it's 2019, January. They proclaimed it in a headline in their health section. So,
well, everyone gets it right. You know, the clock, what do they say? The clock strikes it correctly anyway, that's my thought about the time.
Even a broken clock is right twice daily.
Thank you. Yes. But I do want to say that the liver detox, you know, and the glutathione issue is the other part of it, because you have to, even once you have the microbiome back, we're in constant defense of things that creep into our environment. Even if we try to eat organic, we're still going to get exposures to glyphosates and other kinds of pollutants that are just everywhere, and even in our tap water. And so that's why the ME3 bacteria, if we're talking about probiotics, is something that's a complete complement.
That's the regenerative,
Yeah. It's a complete complement to these other things that will rebuild the balance and your inner ecology and get optimize your terrain. But the ME3 is the only thing that's going to get you making much more of your own glutathione. And so I consider it to be a foundational, just like the Dr. O'Hara's, and a counterpart to that.
Great. All right. We'll pause now, because I want to get further into practical suggestions for detox. A lot of people are contemplating it this time. I guess it's, you know, Lent coming up. Yeah. Okay. I mean, Lent is, you know, whether you're religious or not, I mean, it's sort of the spirit of the season, you know, after the Super Bowl, after all the excess of the holidays.
Yep.
You know, we're getting ready for spring. You know, we're starting to think about, you know, maybe getting into that bathing suit. We look at ourselves in the mirror and, okay, you know, let's get.
Yep.
With the program. So we'll talk about that in part two. Today's guest, Kat James, bestselling author of The Truth About Beauty. You can find information out about her at her website, and that is informedbeauty.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.